It was a little bit of a battle. You know, when you call and preach the gospel to non-savers, I think sometimes it's easier, you know. They're not saved, they don't know nothing about the Bible. You preach them the cross like Billy Graham, you know. It was one simple, powerful message, but that was the truth. And a lot of times when we gather together in the house of the Lord, some of us are scholars, doctors, you know, we know everything. And it's hard sometimes. And I just want to share something that has been on my heart that has just touched my life in a way that changed me in a lot of ways to understand the Word of God in a different way. And I just want to talk about that the weak God takes and makes us strong. And a lot of times when we think that we are strong, this is when we think that we are at the peak and God has to use us. It's almost like we demand God to use us. Are you with me? Sometimes when we feel that we're super spiritual people, we have everything together, we are strong, we can do everything, we're talented. And it almost comes a demand from a human part that God, you must use me. You have to. And sometimes it's not so. Yes, there are times that God uses it. If God can use a donkey to speak through a donkey, God can use through some people that are walking like that as well. But the ways of the Lord are beyond our ways sometimes or our thinking. And God desires to take the weak and to make them strong through His power. Amen. And it's not that, you know, all of a sudden we have to fake it. You know, some people, they fake being, you know, humble or being weak. And it's a type of pride as well can be in a human's heart. And I know people that they're going through some hard times in their lives and they have a smile. They will talk to you. They're the same. They're natural. They're not putting their head down expecting everybody to come and bow down before them. But they're walking in that what the Lord is allowing them to walk through. And they're putting their trust in the Lord, knowing that God is faithful and God will take care of it. Amen. So there's sometimes a false sense of humility and false sense of that we're weak. We just want attention, you know. But there's sometimes that we're just walking through that and God takes those people and turns them upside down and uses them for His kingdom. And the first passage that I want to read with you all, it's going to be 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 29. And a lot of us know this verse by heart. So we're just going to read. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are. So why all these things? Verse 29 says that no flesh could glory in His presence. And it's not that God doesn't want to give us wisdom. It's not that God doesn't want to impart us wisdom. It's not that God wants us to be dumb. You know, sometimes we can be like, as a lot of people in the world, they look at Christian people and they think they're dumb. They're kind of live in the woods somewhere and we're not catching up with the 21st century stream that is going so rapidly. Everything is new. And so many times the church can look a little dumb in front of the world. And this is not what it talks about. It's not that God looks for dumb people and they try to do something. No. He looks for people that, in a different words, if I can put, that depend upon His wisdom. That depend upon His word. That depend upon what He has for us. Amen. And He takes these people that depend upon Him and He's using them mightily. And why is He doing this? So no flesh can glory in His presence. So I don't come before God and say, me, Pavel, I did something great today. No. It's all because of God. Amen. As Apostle Paul says, I am who I am. By whom? By the grace of God. Paul was a wise guy. Paul had PhD probably. He was one of the top ones right there. But when he met with Christ, when he came and started learning from the Word of God, when Jesus began to teach him through the Holy Spirit something, he noticed something in his life and he said, listen, all what I achieved, all that I know about the law, all the things that I thought that I know, I consider them as loss to gain Christ. Amen. So, everything that we know, it's not that we have to kind of forget. It's just to put into practice and trusting the Lord that all who we are, I am who I am by the grace of God and nothing of myself. Praise the Lord. So with that being said, if we can turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19 to 26. And it says, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of pure heart. But avoid foolish and angry disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses, and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. It's a scripture that we probably read many times and we know, but it is something that is really special that speaks to my heart in the scripture. And the Bible says that God knows who He called. God knows us. God knows us by name. And the Bible says those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then in verse 20 it says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also vessels of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. And a lot of times when we think and we speak about vessels of gold, vessels of silver, we think those are the top. Apostle Paul's, you know, when he was, before he got saved. You know, those that are talented people. God can use only those people that achieved something. God can use only those people that have something together already. And we can look sometimes to our neighbor and we can say, yes, he's a vessel of gold. Surely God can use him. Look at me. Who am I? Silver? Not even silver. Maybe wood. And what do we do with you? With wood a lot of times. We do bonfires. You know, we burn it. And it hurts sometimes. And sometimes we look around and say, listen, I'm not even wood, because at least the wood can be carved and some image can be made out of it. And maybe some nice image can be put in the front of the house and I can be a nice statue. You know? And then even we realize that, listen, I'm not even that kind of type of a vessel. I'm a clay that people trample over, that people walk over. That it hurts, that I'm somewhere in the dark, that I'm somewhere that nobody even noticed me. And I was doing, not too long ago, I was doing construction here, and there was a drainage that we were doing. So I took clay and I began to patch the holes where the water was going to kind of stop the water. And some of us, we feel like we're dead spiritually, right? We're like clay. We don't have a purpose in a sense. We don't feel like we have a purpose. And we feel that we even stop the streams of the water that God wants to do in somebody else's life. We're like blockers, you know? And we look at people and sometimes we get the wrong understanding can come in our lives and we can say, listen, I'm not a vessel of gold. I'm not a vessel of silver. I don't worth anything. Who am I? I'm just gonna chill and just live a Christian life as long as I get to the doors of heaven. And sometimes we live a life like that. Sometimes there are people like that have that kind of understanding. I'm not useful for God. But listen, it's not so. It's not so. The Bible says that some of these vessels are used for honor and some are used for what? Dishonor. I like a Russian. I was reading last night a Russian translation and I like it. It almost gives an idea that some of the vessels are used for high places, for honorable places, for places that are noticeable, for places that people see it and almost they clap, they give glory. And then some of the vessels are used, you know, an usher. Some of the vessels that are used to just open the door for somebody, to pick up or to vacuum the church or to do some good and all the small things. And we might think sometimes that we are almost being used by somebody for the wrong reasons. Do you feel that sometimes? Now be honest, I do sometimes. As Apostle Paul said, that I'm not seeking yours, but I'm seeking who? You. Big difference. Sometimes we might feel that people are seeking yours, what you can offer, what you can bring to the table, your talents, what you can do, your abilities. And sometimes that leads us into a corner when we are going to be just crying and be like, what is going on in my life? But Apostle Paul says, I'm seeking you, you as a person, not yours. I'm not interested in your money. I'm not interested in your talents. I'm not interested in what you can offer. But I'm interested in you as a human being. In God's eyes, you value much. It's you first. It's me first. And then everything else. So when we think that we're a vessel, we're not a vessel of gold or silver, and we compare ourselves to wood and clay, that we're so despised, and wood and clay, it's almost like a vessel that it's a lower standard, you know, only gold and silver on a stage, only gold and silver are being used mightily by God. I want to tell you something, that in front of God's eyes, there is no such a thing. There is more responsibility in ministry, yes. God, whoever gives more, is going to ask more from him. But here in verse 21, if we read, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the ladder or from whatever that was in behind you, forever what was in the past, forever what was when we did, whatever sin we have in our life, when we come before God and when God cleanses us, he will be a vessel for honor. Amen. It doesn't matter if we are wood or clay vessels. As long as we come before God and God purifies these vessels, we become a vessel of honor before God. Can you say amen to that? Amen. We become a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the Master. For what? So he can prepare us for any or every good work. Sometimes we can pick. I have friends or I know people that you would ask them to do something simple. It's a good work. To do something simple. And they're going to say, no, I'm busy. I don't have time for that. You know, they're spiritual. And then when you ask them to speak or to do something that is spiritual, oh man, they're right there. They're right there. No, but the Bible says that when you become a pure vessel, when you know your place before God, when we know who we are in Christ, we don't need to prove and we don't need to strive. The Bible says that God will prepare you to be useful for every good work. Not just to preach, not just to come and just be in front of people, not just that, but also to sweep the floors, to clean the toilets, to do something around the church, to go and visit an orphan, to go give somebody who is in need. God can use a pure vessel for every good work. Every good work. I want us to understand that. And when we walk before God, when our hearts are open, when our hearts are clean before Him, He's going to ask us something we're going to do joyfully. Joyfully. Why? Because we know that we are in His hands. Praise the Lord. In verse 22 it says, flee. So if we want to be a pure vessel, what do we have to do? We have to flee. And one of the passages from the Word of God from the Old Testament that I'm reminded of, it's Joseph. Joseph was a vessel that God has put him in a difficult situation, through tests, through fire. And it came a moment that temptation came in his life. He was young. And he fled. He fled. He even left his clothes behind. And he fled. So the Bible here says, if we want to be pure, if we want to be a pure vessel, we must flee youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So if we want to be that pure vessel, we come before God. God cleanses us. It doesn't matter if you're gold or silver or wood or clay. As long as you're pure before God, God can use you for every good work. So for you to maintain in that relationship with Christ, you must flee. Temptations come. We were talking the other day with Josiah in the house about when temptations come, and they come. They come here and there, and then we're tempted sometimes. We're bombarded by things in this world sometimes, but we don't have to give in to that. What do we have to do when we're a vessel for God? We must flee those things. And also, not just flee, but also we have to wisely choose our friends. We have to wisely choose the people that we're hanging out with. It says over here, again, in verse 22, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace. With whom? With those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So we must hang out with people, those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Those people that are Christians, those people that will have a positive influence in our lives. So our vessel can be good and pure for every good work at any time, 24/7. Do this, God, I'm open. I don't have nothing to hide. I don't have nothing from my past that I have to hide. I'm open before you. And God does that. Praise the Lord. So we must choose our friends wisely. I'm not saying don't hang out with non-believers. What I'm saying is if you see that they're having an effect on you, something is wrong. You are not shining the light right. Amen? It's easier for the person who is on the ground than the person who has a table. Who are you going to pick up first? If I was to stand on a table, somebody's here, and you know, the person is trying, I'm trying to get, for example, Victor, my friend, to pull him on a table. What is going to be easier for him, to pull me down or me to pull him up? What is going to be easier? For him to pull me down. And sometimes we play with fire, you know? We as Christians, we're on a floor, and those that have a bad influence sometimes in our life, they're on a table. And we think that we're going to come, and we're just going to pull them to our side. But sometimes it's not that. Sometimes it's the opposite. It's easier for him to pull us down from the table. So let's be careful. Verse 23. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And listen, I have to work on that. I'm not talking that we all arrived. But a lot of times we enter into disputes that they don't matter. Even with our brothers and sisters, we dispute about things, we argue about things. And all those things, all what it does, it brings a strife in our lives. You're right, I'm wrong, and so on and so forth. So many churches, they even don't talk with each other because one church thinks that, listen, to do worship with music is not right. And the other churches think that you can't do rock and roll in the church. And all of a sudden, they argue about little things like that. And there is a dispute, there is no unity. And who wins in the end of the day? What church wins in the end of the day? The devil wins. So the Bible says when we are a vessel before him, and I'm going to emphasize again, either of gold, silver, wood or clay, it doesn't matter. As long as we're pure before him, we are not to enter into dispute with one another for things that don't matter. You know, sometimes the people that want to argue with us, in the end of the day, they don't want to hear us. They just want to argue with us just to argue. And sometimes the wisdom is not in our mind to just zip our mouth and let it go. We want to prove something to them, but we're not going to drive anywhere. Why? Because you're just going to bring strife. And a lot of times we can even, through strife, we can bring even judgmental mind, and we can put other people down, and we might think that we arrived. But avoid foolish and angry disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Verse 24. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach how? In patience. The Bible says if you're a pure vessel, if you're this vessel that God is using, don't argue, don't be snappy. And listen, I'm learning that as well. Trust me, my workers know when I go to work sometimes and I have a bad day, you know. My workers, so I can be snappy sometimes, but the Bible calls us to be transformed, not to be snappy, not to walk into disputes, not to walk and to be able to just show how smart and how wise and put everybody down. No. Verse 25. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. See, we have to be witnesses of this type of character, of these vessels. We have to be gentle. Gentle. When God works in our life, He works gentle. He doesn't take a baseball bat and hits us over the head because we didn't get it. He doesn't do that. He's gentle with us. And God requires of us to be gentle to those people that live in sin. To those people that are outside the church. To those people that live a lifestyle that is not according to the word of God. Don't go into dispute with some people, especially with some laws that are being passed right now. Especially some dark things are happening. And the Church of Jesus Christ can just be standing on the truth and proclaiming the truth. And also another thing, we can sit and argue. You think they don't know the Bible? You think that they don't know the scripture? You think that they live in a total war country that they didn't never heard the scripture? They know. All what they want is just dispute. It's just to argue. And to bring strife between us. And then we look bad. No, but we're going to stand on the truth. We're going to speak the truth. And all of these things we are to do. With how? With humility. We have to do this with humility. If we don't do it with humility, we're guilty of pride, of looking down to somebody, of rejecting people. We have to do this with humility. In verse 26, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So when we, as in 2 Timothy chapter 2, as this is written for us, when we begin to be vessels of honor, be clean vessels, not vessels that are flirting with sin, not vessels that are just in this world, that just are doing wrong things and we think that you're okay. But when we are pure vessels, when we have all these characteristics in our lives, when we are pure before God, when we have humility, when we are humble before Him, when we love each other, when we have all these things, when we come and speak with authority in humility to others that are living probably not right, the Bible says that they, from being captive, God can deliver them. Why? Because they see our lives. Amen. Because they see our lives. We're an example. And a lot of times, people say that the best sermon is not being preached with words, but with a life. With our life. And sometimes, we might take advantage of things in our lives. Sometimes we can look down upon other things, other people. Sometimes we can look and say, listen, only God can use him. God can't use me. And I just want to, in the end, just emphasize a little bit to the people that feel like you're just wood, like a chunk of wood, like a tree, you know, that doesn't even have leaves on it. You know, a dead tree, if the wind comes, you'll fall. And part of the reason why you feel like that is because you don't feel life, you don't feel useful, you don't feel like gold, you don't feel like silver. And some of you feel like clay. That you're being trampled upon. You're being used. As Apostle Paul, I'm not seeking yours, but I'm seeking you. But you feel like people are seeking yours, what you can offer. And sometimes it hurts. Trust me. Sometimes it hurts. I'm speaking from experience. Sometimes it hurts. But when we have the right heart and the right mind, and we're just going into this journey, and we do all things unto whom? The man or the Lord? Unto the Lord. When we have that understanding, God is working on our talents. God is working on our vessels. And we say, God, purify me. Cleanse me from all those things, from misconceptions about you. Cleanse me. Because you're so powerful. You can take these weak things, you can take these broken things, as in 1 Corinthians I read, and you can put to shame the wise, you can put to shame those who have PhD. Why? Because the Holy Spirit lives within you. And you're a pure vessel. And God can use you for every good work. Not just speaking. Not just preaching. Not just being somebody. I don't know who. But for every good work. Cleaning the church. Walking around. Following the church. Helping others. For every good work. But it's a condition of our heart. How we're going to do that. So through this we're going to shine the light of Jesus Christ. Through this humility. Through this love. And through this patience we're going to go. And these people are going to see Christ in us. And they're going to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ through our good works. Praise the Lord. And in the end, I just want to share a scripture that's written in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. He who began a good work in you is faithful to bring to completion what he has begun to the day of Jesus Christ. Sometimes, you know, we get caught up with the first words. He who began a good work in you, he's able to bring it to the end. He's able to bring it to completion. And we can dance upon it and then we wake up in the morning and we feel that we're the same people. That work is kind of not completed and we fall down again. But listen, I want to tell you that in the end of the verse, it says that he will do this work till the day of Jesus Christ. So get encouraged. The work that God is doing in our life is not just today and you're completed and that's it. He's going to be doing a work in our life till the day of Jesus Christ, till the end of the days, till we live in this world. God is going to do a work in us. God is going to take this gold and put it through the fire. God is going to take this silver and put it through the fire to purify it. He's going to take this wood and put it through the fire as well. Because in this ashes, he has beauty. God is going to take this clay and mold it and put it through the fire again. So all those things have something in common that we go through the fire. And as you think that maybe you're a vessel of wood, and you don't matter. Listen, God is going to put it to the fire and there's going to be nothing out of that. But in those ashes, he has a beauty. He sees a beauty. He sees you. He sees me. And he takes this beauty. He takes this diamond and uses it for his glory. Praise the Lord. So he's going to be doing all those things till the day of the Lord. It's not going to stop in your life. If you're going to think you arrive, you're mistaken. It's going to be till the day of the Lord. He's going to come and take us home. Till that day, God is going to do a work in our lives. And the reason, the purpose for all these things are why? So he molds us a character. So our vessel can be pure before him. So he can use for every good work. As Pastor Carter once says, that the call of God calls you to the pulpit, but our character what keeps you behind the pulpit. It's tough sometimes. It's not easy. But it's a character that God wants to use. This vessel that is pure before him, nothing is hidden. And may help us God for us to be patient. And to understand that even though sometimes people are seeking ours, not us, God is not seeking ours because we can offer nothing to him. But he's seeking you and me. And all what we can offer is our life, our mess, our sin, our past. And he can take this and purify, transform it, and use it for his glory. It doesn't matter what kind of vessel you are, wood, gold, and silver, or clay. As long as it's pure before the Lord, God can use it. God can change it. God can take that nothing and make out of that nothing, what? Something. God can do that. Don't feel that you're insignificant, that you're a matter in this world. God is not for depression. God is not for all those things that sometimes we put ourselves in situations thinking, and the battle is in our mind, and we think that God doesn't love us. God is a father that has a heavy hand upon us, and that we can't be used. He can use us. He can. He can. As long as we're pure before him. And when we're pure, he will use us for what? What kind of work? Preaching? TV evangelist? What kind of work he's going to use? For every good work. So somebody is going to come and ask you to do something, you know, simple. Expect that. And just do it with a right heart. And God will bless you. Why? Because when you're a pure vessel, it's expected to be asked to do any good work. Any good work. And we are to respond to that with love and joy. Amen? If we can stand at this moment, and if you can't stand, if for some reason, it's okay if you can be seated. And we're just going to spend a few moments in just prayer. And if God spoke to your heart, I'm not going to sit and push on your emotions. If God spoke to your heart, and you have maybe felt lately like that, as Apostle Paul said, I'm not seeking yours, but I'm seeking you. But you feel like people have been seeking yours, what you can offer. And you come to a place where you feel like you're not a pure vessel. You're flirting with sin. You're flirting with things of this world. And yes, you might come to church, everything almost seems fine. But there's something that you know that there is there, that you need to lay it down for God to be able to use you for every good work. You come and we'll just pray together. And it doesn't have to be that. You know if this word spoke to you. You just come and we'll pray together and we'll end the service. So if this is you, please come. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord. Let's lift our voices. You know, we can, some of you just looking around, just let's close our eyes and just spend some time in prayer. And just talk with God. Talk with God. If you have nothing to say, just pray for these people that came up front. And just pray. Pray for one another. Let's lift our voices. Hallelujah. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that your promises are yes and amen. We thank you, Father, that you're not just looking for what we can offer on a table. You're not just looking for what we can perform and what we can do to impress your other people. but you're looking first and foremost for us as a human being, for us that you called us by name to save us, to set our feet upon the rock, O Lord, to just bless us, for us to be together with you, O God, at your feet. I thank you, Jesus, for this. I thank you, Lord, and it comes a moment when you're enabling us. When you're blessing us, when you're giving us abilities to serve you, O God, when you're giving us circumstances in our life to be able to shine this light, Father, help us. Help us, O God, not to do this with strife, not to do this with pride, but help us to humble ourselves before you, and you will bless us, O God. Jesus, I'm asking you, these vessels that we are, O God, purify those who are crying out to you. You see the needs, you see the things in our life. You see the captivating things maybe that were in the past and the enemy is bringing to remembrance and telling us that you can't use us because of this or of that. Lord, but when you purify us, when you're cleansing us, we're pure before you and we are good to go for any good work, oh God. Help us, oh Jesus, to understand this. Help us, oh God, to listen to your small voice. When you're speaking to us, do the small thing, the simplest thing. Help us to just be obedient, oh God, and not to seek places, not to seek high places, high chairs, just for popularity, oh God, but help us to take the lowest seat in the house. And in a due time, you will come and call us, oh God. I'm asking you, Jesus, to just one more time touch our lives. To purify for anything that is not of yours in our life, oh God. And when we're going through the fires, when we're going through the tests, when we're going through the circumstances in our life, help us not to back down, not to fall into despair, oh Lord. But help us to understand that you're doing a great work. You're purifying us so we can shine better like this gold, like this silver. Help us to understand that you're carving us into your image, oh God. Help us to understand that you're taking this clay in your hands and you're making something like a jar for a week so we can pour water maybe to somebody that is in need. Help us to understand that when we're going through circumstances in our life, it's for a reason, oh God. And you're never leaving us alone, but you're keeping us in your hand, oh Lord. We're always in your hand. You will never leave us or forsake us. It's a promise from you, oh God. Help us to understand this, oh Jesus. Oh Father, I'm asking you, give us a heart when we're going to do something for your kingdom. So it's from the right motives. So it's not something that we're going to do to strive for glory of human, from glory of man. Lord, but help us to do this as unto you, oh God. Even though it's small or big or anything that you're asking us to do, help us to be obedient and to understand that we're doing these things for you, oh God. Help us to do it with the right heart, with the right passion, oh God. Help us, oh Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you loved us all and you have called us all by name. I thank you, Jesus, that we can come before you and be honest with you. I thank you for the gentle spirit that deals with our hearts, with our lives. I thank you, Lord, that you have a purpose for us. We did not become Christians just to live an empty life, but we became Christians to live a fulfilled life in you, O God. We thank you that Christian life is not boring, but Christian life is full of joy and full of fruits. Full of blessings from you, O God. And yes, there are times that we're going through the desert. Yes, there are times that we're going through the valleys. But your staff is with us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I'm asking you to hear the cry of your church today in the 21st century. To hear the cry of every single person that came to this place. Lord, you see our life and you know what's better when we leave this place, when we're alone, when we're battling with things. God, help us. Help us, oh God, to remember that you are greater than all things. Help us to remember that we are in your hands and nothing can pluck us out from your hands. Help us, oh God, not to run away from your will, but to run into your arms because we are being wrapped and protected in your arms. Father, let this day be a day full of joy and victory in our lives. Let this day be a day of smiles and laughters. Because we can rejoice. The joy of the Lord is our strength. God, help us to stay strong in you. To rejoice in your promises. Even though sometimes they're not being seen. But help us to hold them fast in our hearts and our minds. To know,
that the work that you have begun in our lives, you will bring it to completion, not today, not tomorrow, but by the time Jesus comes, by the end of the days, the work that you began in us, you will bring it to completion. And we just thank you that it's nothing of us. It didn't say that we are doing this work, but you are doing this work. And we thank you for this promise. We love you and we praise you because you're worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. And amen.